Greetings, happy holidays, and happy New Year's Day Eve to everybody out there. What's up? Welcome to another episode of the Wandering One podcast, brought to you by Wandering One Studios, and yours truly, your host, Link Flores. How you guys doing? By the time you hear this, for most of you, we should be just getting into New Year's Eve, probably a little bit more than halfway through. And those of you who are ahead of us, Happy New Year to you. 2026 is here for some and right around the corner for the rest of us. I hope you guys are excited. Hope you guys aren't burnt out too much because of this past year, because Lord knows things have been a little bonkers and weird. But yeah, here's looking forward to a new year with some hope, some renewed fervor and zest for life, and the pursuit of your dreams, your goals, your ambitions, that kind of jazz. And I really do hope that everybody has a safe and has had and will continue to have a safe and happy holiday season. I know there's lots of winter weather for some folks. It's just finally started to act like it's winter down here in Florida, which means that this morning, if I remember correctly, the temperature this morning was in the low 30s or in the mid 30s or upper 30s. I haven't taken a look this morning, and I meant to. I actually turned on the news to watch, and I was like, oh, what's going on today? Yeah, I was in like the mid-30s early this morning, and I think our high today is about 52-ish, and we're coming close to that right now. It's about 46 degrees. This is the kind of weather I actually like. I don't mind bundling up and getting kind of, you know, tucked into a coat and a sweater and a hat. I mean, this is a little too warm for a regular winter coat, from what I understand. I mean, from what I have come to realize and feel about myself. But, you know, a nice jacket, maybe a skull cap to keep the winter winds off of your skull piece. A long sleeve t-shirt, jeans, you know, a decent pair of socks. Thankfully, it's Florida, so unfortunately there's no snow, but at least I don't have to buy boots yet. Yet being the operative word, I do intend to purchase another pair of winter weather boots, or at least like a pair of work boots that I could stuff some socks on my feet and just kind of go marching around in. But yeah, this is like the time of year that I really love. And one, all the biting insects go back to hell where they belong. Like, that's my favorite joke. It's like all the biting insects in Florida go back to hell where they belong. If we're lucky, we get a couple good hard freezes and it'll kill them all off. Which would be great, or at least as many of them as we can get rid of. But it also means I can have my favorite holiday drinks. Like right now, I'm having a nice little chai, that just a splash of oat milk creamer. That's good business right there. And I get to talk to all of you, because a lot of people are off for the holidays. Now, this is one of those times of year where it's a little interesting to be in podcasting and streaming, because, you know, the audience changes during the seasons, you know, and right about now is time when, you know, a few more adults are out and about listening, and some of the college kids are off of school breaks and whatnot. So this is the time of year when it can fluctuate. Either you're out busy doing stuff with the friends and fam, so you're not really spending much time indoors or, you know, checking out media, or you go the opposite direction. And you're like, screw that. The weather's ridiculous. I'm going to stay indoors. And, you know, maybe I'll throw on a podcast or three and then, you know, watch a stream or two. So to everybody who is doing whatever they're doing, I would like to say thank you once again. Thank you for a wonderful, wonderful year. Just recently had the 2-year anniversary of the podcast. And here we go into 2026. Looking forward to some new, how do I put this? Some new directions that to swing the podcast into. Not going to change it too much from its original format, but maybe trying out a couple of new things. Not the least of which is pushing for Patreon. I want to do something where I do like at least maybe like a live Patreon stream if I could pull it off somehow. I don't know. Patreon's gotten a couple of changes and taken some hits over the last year. I think that one of the things they took away was live streaming via Patreon. So I could stream something, it'd have to go through a different stream service, then I'd have to re-encode it to Patreon. It's a whole mess. But maybe that means we need to switch gears and change to a different format. So let me know what you think. Again, hit me up on Patreon at patreon.com/WanderingOneStudios. Also check out the Twitch streams. I'm going to be doing some Twitch streaming today, actually. Because New Year's Eve is tonight, and you know, it's also the subscriber giveaway for the year. This is the big one. This is the one pull out all the stops. So yeah, stop on by twitch.tv/linkib and say hello. Pop in, hang out, you know, vibe out for a little bit. We had a person actually ran across during an excursion to go pick up some vape juice for the fam. And this gentleman came in and just bombed the stream, threw a bunch of gift subs my way, much appreciated. Yeah, and you never know when that kind of thing happens. You could be one of the benefactors of that as well. So never hurts to stop into a stream every now and again. Something really amazing and wonderful happens like that. And I would like to thank our friend there, Ellie, and the rest of the community as a whole, for all the support and love. I really do appreciate it. Speaking of community and gaming and streaming, there was a sad bit of news in the gaming world this year, especially in this last week. It's called Epic Gamer Grandma. Was a Twitch and YouTube streamer. And the lady was 78 years old. You know, like I said, a gamer grandma. Just as the name implies, Epic Gamer Grandma. Her real name was only released as Agnes. But she was very much beloved by the community. And she built like such a great following, and lots of people will come and check out her stream. She's just having a blast playing games and just kind of really just being like a grandma type personality to a lot of people who maybe didn't have like the coolest home life, or maybe are struggling with the loss of like a senior parent or grandparent or something like that. But she just recently passed away at the age of 78 due to complications related to COPD. And yeah, I think they're doing a memorial for her in game or on stream somehow. I have to have to look it up, but that was just one of those things. Like, you know, there's life and death, and I think it's really cool though that somebody who is, I mean, you're looking at a senior citizen who gets into this hobby of gaming and enjoys it and has fun and creates their own community and is so beloved that like their love and their passion for this hobby kind of transcends their age and reaches out to other people and inspires them. And I hope that her life serves as an example to people out there. You know, you're never too old to shoot for your dreams. And, you know, you never know what it is that you do that's going to inspire somebody. So you got to do the thing. Whatever the thing is that you feel like you're put here to do, you got to do it, because you're the only one who can do it uniquely the way that you can. You know, somebody else may come along. You might miss your window, miss your shot because you just dragged feet. And then somebody else will do the exact same thing you were thinking about doing, but they won't put quite the flavor into it that you could. So use that as a little bit of encouragement to try new things, to step out of your comfort zone. And, you know, maybe you never know how things will work out for you. Yeah. And that's one of those encouragement kind of things. Like, I think about like New Year's resolutions. And I don't know, man. I think when I was younger, I was big on it. I think as I got older, and when I say older, I mean like in my mid-20s. So I think when you're like, you know, your teenage years, your early 20s, you're like, I'm going to be this year, new year, new me. I'm like, man, probably not. Most likely not going to be a new me, but what we could do is do like a recommittal. And I think that's usually a little bit more impactful for people as opposed to a resolution. Because resolutions, you know, usually they're dependent upon motivation. You know what I mean? People are always talking about like, I've lost my motivation, or I'm trying to find motivation, or motivation fades. So what you got to look at is a dedication. Like, that's a commitment to yourself, commitment to, you know, your community, your family, or your job, or whatever it is. Recommitting yourself to something is way easier than making a resolution. Because people make resolutions all the time, they generally end up failing out, they flame out, or they get overwhelmed by the size of the resolution they've taken on. But you can easily recommit to something that you had already started and maybe slid back a little bit on. Some people, it might be something simple, you know, like making sure you put your laundry away within 24 hours of washing it, which would be a big thing for me. Or it could be something more complicated, like trying to break a smoking habit. Or resolving to, we're going to skip resolving. Or, you know, committing yourself to working out like at least twice a week, maybe three times a week, something kind of thing like that. I think that that's one of those things we have discussed during the stream, and it would have been great to have this actual question in front of me for the podcast, but I kind of remember a big chunk of it. And one of our super friends in the stream actually asked, like, you know, what do you have any New Year's resolutions? I'm like, no, but I'd like to recommit to some things that I have thought about doing, and then just life, lack of agency, or, you know, I guess like lack of focus, maybe a mild depression or two kind of snuck in there and just sucked the energy right out of the whole pursuit, sucked the air out of the room, and then the boy was just left there spinning wheels. And a couple of those things are pretty easy to point out, pretty clear that I can put a finger on. I'm like, this is the thing, right? One of those big things for me is to draw more. Now, if you're not familiar with my Twitch channel, all the art assets, you know, there's some, you know, photographs that I've used for backgrounds and whatnot, but all the art assets are drawn by myself. Also, you see my Streamlabs store, I think, is in my Twitch description. I don't know that I put it on podcast. I could, I guess. But all the art assets on there were drawn by me. And one of the things I've been meaning to do is to revamp a bunch of those designs and make them a little bit more reasonable for somebody to spend, you know, $20 to $30 on like a shirt or a hoodie or something. You know, not that the designs themselves aren't cute, but I would like to refresh them, change things up, add a little pizzazz. And I just dragged ass, man. Let me be quite honest with you. I just haven't felt the motivation, the desire, or even the, you know, I'm struggling with the word right now. Like the concern, maybe. I'm just like, I look at it, I go, who gives a shit? You know what I mean? Like that's a thing that I thought would be cute and fun to do, but ain't nobody really buying into this, right? And that's kind of how I've been looking at my artwork and, you know, and a lot of things lately. You know, if there's no effort being made to make it move forward, then I give up, you know? And I'm like, well, that's not going to work. The effort has to come from you, right? Like, effort has to come from within me to make that look good, to make that look cool so people will want to buy the thing. And I'm like, you know what? You get so twisted up and caught up in, you know, just the day-to-day minutia of life that before you know it, like, months have gone by. And I got to stop doing that shit. So one of the things I want to try to recommit myself to doing is to draw at least once a day, you know? And the funny thing about it is, I'll get to this in a minute, it was easier back when I was actually actively on social media. That was a way easier process to take care of and to do. But it's also going to be one of those things where maybe I have to figure out a way to make that work without... And it sounds like pressure, which it kind of was, but it was a self-imposed pressure via social media to do more artwork. You know, people are like, hey, I thought you were going to be working on this, or did you do that, blah, 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 blah. And we're going to get to that point in just a moment. But yeah, working on more artwork. Also, figuring out a way, and I said this on the stream, to get my own Rosetta Stone subscription so that I can have like basically like a dueling competition with my wife on working on languages. I want to go back and, you know, recommit to, you know, speaking better Spanish and also learning how to read and maybe read and write at the very least Korean. And then so get to the point where maybe I won't be fluent conversationally, but if I can learn how to read it and write it, then perhaps I can like build some fluency, maybe meet some people who speak Korean, maybe work on doing a little bit more Korean work in and Spanish language work, actually. In the stream, so it opens up another avenue of engagement for other people to come in and listen. I'm like, oh, this guy, maybe he's like learning Korean, but he's got some of the stuff right. Maybe he's got some pronunciation problems or he spelled that wrong kind of thing, you know. And same thing with like Spanish. It's like, hey, man, you kind of almost got that right, but the syntax is this. That would be cool to have that kind of input. So, yeah, learning another language or at least, you know, polishing up on a language that I can read relatively well. And learning a completely new language that I don't know how to read at all would be our part of my list too. And then, you know, I mean, just simple shit. Like I said, working out maybe like twice a week, whether it's hitting the hydro that we've been just letting languish in our garage, jumping on the bike and taking a ride around like I used to, you know, 2-3 times a week, getting out and doing some exercise outside of the house, or outside of like the confines of my living room and my office. Doing a couple sit-ups and push-ups here and there is not going to cut it. Like getting a good like 20-minute, half-hour workout in. Half hour would be perfect workout. I think that would help a lot, you know, in terms of, you know, mental and emotional stability, physical health, obviously. But, you know, getting like that little bit of energy, getting better sleep. I found that when I was actually, you know, riding a bike on a regular, I could go to sleep and I would just be asleep. And the less physically active I've become, and I'm not like just sitting on a couch and rolling over to, you know, grab a hoagie roll or whatever, and then just lamping on the couch forever. But I do live a mostly sedentary lifestyle, unfortunately. Even when I go out to run errands, like I try to run the errands. Like I try to be booking up and down aisles. I don't like lollygagging and strolling. I want to be moving, burning some calories and stuff. But I know I could do better. So I intend to try to recommit myself to that as well. And it's not easy. It's tough, you know. And then I think the other big thing was to find a way to build some shelving in my office, in our master bedroom closets, and in our pantry. If I start the smaller projects first, it'll help inspire and inform the larger projects, which is really to put shelving in our garage to move all the fucking totes of, oh, we've got, you know, totes of Christmas decorations and, you know, Halloween, not really Halloween much, but some Halloween decorations, just like, you know, decorative stuff, project craft stuff, getting that stuff, you know, put into compartments up off the floor and stop being scattered all over the fucking place. You know, putting some actual storage solutions in there. The one thing we noticed is when we built this house, there's a lot of room, but there's not a lot of space. I don't know if that makes sense to some of you guys, but there's plenty of square footage here. It's just not designed to adequately assist human beings with living. So there's like lots of dead and wasted space where they've just crafted this whole thing poorly. And they've laid it out poorly. So even the modifications that we made to make it fit more of our personal lifestyle still haven't really opened up places for, you know, closeting, shelves, things of that nature. You know, cabinetry. Cabinetry is the biggest one, especially in the kitchen. Just finding places to put the shit. Yeah, sorry. I'm umming and ahhing there. But those are some of the things that kind of strike you when you look at a place. You're like, oh, there's plenty of space in here, but there's plenty of room in here, but is there any space? Like, can I put stuff in here? Can I put a cabinet there? You know, do I have shelving? Do I have, you know, a rollout space for this thing? You know, that kind of stuff. Stuff that kind of like enhances your life and enhances the quality of your life. So you got like, ah, yeah, now I can move around and do a little bit more of this and this and this. And of course, because they're cheap ass builders, they put a bunch of like really shitty wire shelving in here. So that means we're going to go out very carefully, pull all this shit out of the wall, and then replace it with some much sturdier, probably much more invasive wooden shelving. But hey, if we do it right, it'll look nice, it'll keep for years, it'll add some value to the house, plus some value to our lives as well, so we don't have to worry about like, hey man, where am I going to put this? Why is this such a pain in the ass? Yada, yada, yada. Anyway. So yeah, I think the biggest thing when it comes to like the New Year's recommittal thing is what I'm trying to focus on is accountability. That's the hardest part. Not just being accountable to oneself, because it's easy to make excuses to yourself. Like I said, I've done it already. And we're all pretty good at it when we want to be. But finding a way to make those commitments to somebody else and be held accountable to them. Hey, have you done the thing today? No, man, you're supposed to get on that, man. Hey, about you, did you do your thing? Yeah, I just did mine right now. That's what made me think about you, so I'm calling you. That's one of those are the kinds of interactions that can also, one, help build community, because you can do that with your friends, you can do that with your family, your spouse, your partner, you know, your coworkers. You know, you can add people to that kind of circle of accountability as you feel is necessary. But being able to engage with one another on something that's more than just the rote minutia of day-to-day doldrums would be cool, because, you know, then you actually have an opportunity to converse with one another, to encourage one another, to be encouraged by one another. And I think that's what's really one of the things I've said before is I don't buy into this loneliness epidemic bullshit. And I'm going to be honest with you, I do think it's bullshit, because I think we blame the pandemic all we want. But the real truth is, with proliferation of technology, we found better ways to interconnect a world so we can leave each other alone. You know what I'm saying? Like, how many times have you heard somebody talk about being put left on red, or they turn on their D&D, which is their do not disturb settings for this kind of thing or that kind of thing, right? And it's like, we built this world that's so technologically interwoven so that we can make sure that we don't have to talk to anybody at all, ever. And it feels kind of antithetical to the idea behind the technology in the first place. It's like, why would we do all this extra work to just not talk to each other? You know, it doesn't make any fucking sense. I'm mystified by it. And I'll be honest, I've been guilty of it on occasion too. Now, my thing is too, I actually prefer to be called on the telephone than to be texted or, you know, direct messaged or whatever. I know that everybody's up for that kind of thing. But one of the things I really value, though, is the connectivity of a human voice. You know what I mean? Being able to hear the emotion and the energy in somebody's voice is great. One of the things that really drives me crazy is that low-key, like, kind of, like, somebody goes, K. It's like this dispassionate single-word response. And it's like, you know what? Just tell me to go fuck myself. I'd rather hear that than... Your energy and your lack of engagement tells me you don't want to be bothered. I know people like that all the time who will text me just one word or an emoji or something like that. And I'm like, you know what? You just tell me you don't want to be talked to. Got it. Maybe that's not what they're saying. But the problem is we haven't learned how to communicate any better for all the incredible communication devices that we have. We've actually gotten worse at it. So that's why I think that accountability is going to be great, you know, going into the new year, is because you're going to have to engage with somebody. It's not going to be like, did you, you know, do your thing? Yes. I'm like, well, tell me how it went. You know, how many did you do? How many reps did you do? Hey, did you get, like, did you learn new words in your language app? Can you show me what it is? Da, da, da. You're opening up an avenue for you to have discussions with people, to keep, have them keep you accountable, and for you to keep them accountable and to encourage one another, as opposed to just being like, hey, sup, what are you doing? Not much. How about you? Fine. LOL. Later. Your conversations are less than a sentence long each. You're probably not winning at life. So I think the accountability thing is a huge factor for everybody. And that will help us succeed. Like I said, it helps build community, you know, and that would be really... that'd be really helpful for a lot of people. This whole, like I said, the loneliness epidemic is just, we've forgotten how to talk to people and we're being weird to and around them. It's weird. If we were sitting in front of one another face to face, let's put this into a human context so it can be, you know, kind of understood a little bit more succinctly by those people who are going to be like, I don't get it. I talk to people every day. Really? Do you? Imagine that every conversation that you have via text or DM or whatever is like sitting in your own little two, three, whatever person booth at a restaurant, right? You go to a restaurant. You've seen people do this, by the way. We've talked about this before. You've seen people do this where they're all sitting around together, but everybody's staring at their phones. Now, imagine that you don't actually have the phone in your hand, but you're all just still, because that's what this chat room or, you know, a text thread or a group text or whatever is basically like. It's a small little room that you guys have basically closed off for yourself so you can interact with one another. Now imagine there's no phones. There's just like a table. Maybe there's a couple of drinks and some, you know, some chips and sauce or whatever on the table, right? And there's three of you. Let's make it easy. Let's say there's just two of you. A little bit more intimate. And you're just sitting there staring across the table at each other. And somebody were to, let's say the other person looks at you and goes, just say, WYD. Really? What you doing? It's like, nigga, I'm sitting here with you. What the fuck you mean? What am I doing? You know what I mean? And then you, but you respond, LOL, NM, HBU. Imagine if you spoke to one another like that while you're sitting in front of each other. People would think you were insane. You would start to go insane after a while. You're like, why are we talking like this? We're literally standing in front of each other. Or imagine if you were able to like just produce an emoji out of thin air in front of your face. And then the other person has to sit and look at that. Imagine how absolutely batshit crazy you would look. But that's how we've learned to communicate. And it's become so ingrained in us that we never think about just how ridiculous it is to continue to communicate in that fashion when there's obvious negatives to that, right? If I respond to you in that way, it cuts off a lot of the nuance of what I'm trying to say to you. One of the rules that we and my wife have kind of come up with is we don't talk about important shit via text. We either call each other or sit in face-to-face talk to one another. Because the biggest problem is that things can get misconstrued. They can get misconstrued when you're talking face-to-face. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes people have a tone the way they say shit that makes you want to snatch them by the back of their head. I'm like, who the fuck do you think you're talking to, right? But we talk about that kind of stuff face-to-face because, you know, you can look in a person's eyes. You can have a moment to be like, hey, what was that? What does that really mean? What do you mean by that? Yeah? What are you trying to drive at when you say that? You know, you have a little bit more of a direct, you have a much more direct connection with them because now I'm looking at you. I can see your face. I can hear your attitude. I can hear your tone. What's going on? We've had those moments before and it's like, look at the other person and be like, hey man, I don't know what this is, but this ain't about me. Whatever you got going on in your head that's making you do this, you got to sort that shit out and then come back. But right now, whatever you got going on, that ain't got shit to do with me. So when you figure that out, you let me know. We'll come back and we'll address this at that moment. Imagine you had to do that with like all the little, you know, like I'm not going to say little, but let's say all the recommittals that you want to make this year. You have to look somebody in the face and be like, hey man, weren't you supposed to go ride like 2 miles on the stationary bike today? Yeah, man, but you know what? What else did you do today? Were you rebuilding an engine? Were you working on like a formula for cold fusion? No. You did some groceries, washed a little bit of laundry, and then you watch a TV all day. You didn't have 20 minutes to go and get on the bike? Fuck is wrong with you? You don't have to be aggressive about it, but you could be honest about it. Like, come on, man. Like, we're supposed to be doing this shit together. Let's work at this. I think that's really the biggest thing when it comes to how people fail is the accountability factor. Because the desire is initially there because that's why you came up with it. That's why you thought about the thing. Like, hey, man, I really want to do this for me. So you definitely had a desire to do this thing for you. You know, there's a need for it there too, because it's not just like, I want to do this. Why? Just cause you're like, oh, I want to do this. Why? Well, you know, if let's say it's an exercise goal. Well, I want to fit back into my old pair of jeans again. Or I just like to be able to, you know, move around a little bit more freely and breathe better. You know what I mean? Or, you know, my doctor says my, you know, cholesterol is a little high. I want to get this down so I can live a little bit longer or at least live a better quality of life. Those are things that you need, right? So you have the desire. It's like, yeah, I want to do this because of this reason, but I also need something out of this. You know, there's an actual, you know, there's a real, this benefits me more than just like just having a thing. I mean, I'm not like a little kid just asking for G.I. Joes or Legos or, you know, Labubu or whatever hot new thing is out right now, like video games. Like, I want the thing because I want it. Do you want it because you need it or you just want it just to have it? I think that some of these New Year's resolutions are kind of things that we've kind of told ourselves that we know we need, we know we want, but we almost have to find a way to justify that as opposed to just being like, I just need to do this because it's good for me or it's going to make me feel better or it's going to make me, you know, look better or perform better or, you know, have more confidence in myself. And you feel like we have to kind of like gamify it so we make a resolution. Now you can just do this shit just because you want to and it feels good and you need it for your life. And it makes you happy. Makes you feel more fulfilled. And I think one of the other things we talked about during the stream was there's a bit by Tom Segura where he talks about how he lost. Tom Segura is a comedian, by the way. If you're not familiar with him, check him out on Netflix. Got a bunch of different specials out there. Definitely not the easiest person to listen to on some occasions because he does get pretty graphic. And, you know, I mean, I figure we're all adults here, so you can make your own decisions. But he did one bit where he talked about like how he was really overweight for a long time. Then he lost a lot of weight. And somebody's like, if you can do it, I can do it. He's like, no, you can't. He's like, are you doing this right now? You got the microphone. He's doing stand-up. He's like, I'm up here doing this. Can you do this? I don't think so. And he's like, the real truth is somebody asked him that like, hey, man, how do I, you know, get motivated to lose weight, whatever. He's like, do you look in the mirror and say, I hate myself? The guy's like, no. He's like, well, then you're not ready. Like, you know, and in a weird backwards kind of way, that's kind of what it takes. You have to be able to look at your situation and you want to improve it and go like, am I really ready to make a change, or am I still complacent enough to just sit here where I'm at? Which I think is the real core of what he was driving at. It's like, it's not until we look at a point in our, we get to a point in our lives where we're completely and wholly dissatisfied that the way things are, that we go, something's got to give. And then you actually do something about it. Because if you're able to be able, if you're able to sit in your complacency and go, this is fine for me for now, then, you know, you're not going to make the change. You're not ready for it. It has to be to the point where you're like, hey man, this has got to change or else. And when that happens, you know, generally speaking, it can be too late. So you want to get to that, you want to hit that and nip that in the bud before it gets to that point. So that was one of my, you know, one of my little speeches, I guess, or whatever, about New Year's resolutions and whatnot. I think it's just more impactful to pick up something that you dropped off over the last year, maybe last year or two, and give that a spin around. Yeah, you know, see if that works out some stuff for you. Now that we've had our preaching section for the day, I'm not even going to dig into the fucking news. Just too much craziness has been going on. The fun thing about it is, though, I will say that, like, a lot of the political shit, it's unraveling really fast for these MAGA weirdos. And it's not going to be long before, like, as I said, the wheels are starting to come off right now with more releases of the Epstein files, the stupid redactions using Adobe Acrobat, which are hilarious, by the way. And then just the random other shit that's popping up, you know, who was it somebody said the other day? It was like, there's no Epstein list, you know, says, Pam Bondi, but then there's an Epstein list. It's on my desk. I'm reading it. Then a week or two later, there's no Epstein list. Okay, then why is Jeffrey Epstein dead? And why is his, you know, cohort in crime, why is she still in prison? If there's no Epstein list, then why are they even arrested in the first place? When are you going to stop lying? Because we know you've been lying. We just want to know when you're going to stop. So yeah, the weirdness is going to come to an end soon. I'm not like soon enough for us to be happy about it, but soon it will be something. And I'm also going to say this too. We were talking about like the holidays and whatnot. And one of the things we've done last couple years is just doing like a small gift exchange / stocking exchange for the holiday. And then do like an ornament pass around and maybe like a white elephant kind of thing. Something really low key instead of blowing out the lines with a bunch of different presents and gifts. Also, most of us are a little bit older. It's not like when you have like little kids, teenagers even, you're like, you push the boat out a little bit more to like get them a lot of cool shit for the holidays. We're all grown, man. We got our own income. We could do pretty much anything we want for ourselves. The holidays are a little bit more of like a get together and enjoy one another's company kind of thing. But I want to encourage you guys, if you're going to be looking forward to buying a lot of shit for the holidays, start saving now. You need to begin saving and buying your shit in April for the holidays, or else just have your Christmas in April. I mean, one reason I say that, it's close enough to tax season that most of you probably will have had your taxes done well before the deadline. So you get a little bit of income tax check back. Maybe that'll help offset some of the holiday costs, but you can get to have it in April. And if you're not people who care for the cold, then you have it during a time when this, you know, the weather's a little bit nicer. Maybe these guys can get outside a little bit, have a little bit more fun with it. Maybe a little bit of barbecue if the weather's a little bit warmer, you know. And you could do something a little bit more non-traditional, but you can still engage one another and not break the bank over it, right? But if you want the traditional holiday season Christmas, start saving in April at the very latest and start buying your gifts before August. The last thing you want is to be caught over a barrel just days before the holiday and then be like, oh, I don't know what to get somebody. That's a really bad feeling. And few things are worse than going to look for that special thing and it's gone. So make your preparations now. So you have less shit to worry about later. Yeah, good times. I had to take the cat to the vet again. It's going to be a little gross, but I'm not going to be super gross about it. But there was like little tiny droplets of blood coming out of her litter box area. No, I'm not talking about her actual body. I mean, like where her litter box is, there's little drops of blood on the floor. And it was worrisome, so I went and took her to the vet. Thankfully, our vets are awesome. And we have Care Club, which is a huge help, even though it's a chunk of money. Like, for an older cat, this is actually kind of worth it. Because the last thing you want is for some wild shit to happen, and then you have no idea. At least this kind of preventative care can help them. But it took like a stool sample and ran it over there. They did like a blood draw and urinalysis and all that. And now we're just waiting to see what happened. Because it's the second time I've noticed this. And the doc was like, you know, occasionally this kind of thing happens. It's like, you know, urinary tract may like get like a little clogged. Sometimes they might actually pass like a small mucusy kind of thing. I know it says gross. Just like, but it's not uncommon. It's just you maybe hadn't seen it before. I'm like, oh, I've definitely never seen this before. I had this cat for 12 years, and not once in 12 years that I've had her have I seen something like this. So I'm like just a little worried. I should be hearing from the vet a little bit later on sometime today, and then we'll get that hopefully sorted out. Maybe they'll have some good information for me. I'm just hoping there's nothing serious. She seems to be fine otherwise, though. Like, her energy levels seem to be fine. She just wasn't eating. Of course, here's the thing. Little shit wasn't eating. I was making her breakfast in the morning, and then I put it down for her. She wouldn't eat. And then, like, 3 hours later, she'd come back and clean the bowl out. I'm like, what are you doing, dude? She's been on a schedule of like 10, 4, 10 for like years. Almost like 2 years now at this point. And so 10 in the morning, 4 in the afternoon, 10 at night. And with like within like an hour of that time is when she eats. So she's usually pretty good and hungry by the time it's time for her next meal. Especially first thing in the morning. Like, you think about it. If she eats at like 10, 11 o'clock, by the time I get up in the morning and get moving around, 9:30, 10 o'clock, 10:30. It's been almost 12 hours since she last ate. She should be ready for some food. And then she just would just sit there and stare at it. Or she'd nibble at it, and then there'd be like a whole bowl of food basically with like three bites out of it, and then I'd have to throw the whole thing away. Like I said, she gets like a freeze-dried raw food. She gets a like a little bit of canned food every now and again, but it's like a carton, like a cardboard carton food. And you know, occasionally a bit of like regular, you know, turkey or ham or whatever if her mom sneaks her a little bit of something. Or if we just got a little bit left over, I'll toss her a little bit of something like that. But yeah, I can't just leave that kind of freeze-dried raw stuff sitting out because it's regular meat. After a while, it's going to get funky and she'll get sick if she eats it. So we're hoping that, you know, when we hear from the vet later on, everything's okay. Maybe they'll just be like, hey, you know, it's just a little bit of this. Try using that. I told you guys about the hip joint thing, which was fucking wild. But outside of that stuff, she's fine. So I don't know. It's just really weird. And I think maybe it's the stress too. Because like I like we were talking about last week. My stepdaughter came down to visit for the holiday. And then her flight back was at 6 in the morning, which I could have strangled her for. God bless her. But, you know, I guess it's whatever, but the problem was that in order to get her to the airport at 6:30 and get her, to the airport at 4, because she had to be there 2 hours before her flight left, means we had to get up and leave at 3 in the morning. So at like 11:30 that night before, I'm trying to take a nap and I lay down for like 2 hours or whatever. Then I get up to the shower, get some mint tea in my stomach, and, you know, drive all the way out there. By the way, it's Silent Hill. One, there's very few cars on the road in the first place, but whatever's out there is almost completely obscured by this low, thick pea soup fog. I haven't seen fog this bad in years. And I think the last time I remember seeing it was early in the mornings when I used to work construction, and the sun would be out, but you couldn't see shit because there'd be so much fog. Outside of that, the last time I saw it this bad was probably when I lived in Massachusetts. And like every now and again, there'd be a fog that would just roll in across the city of Boston. And you're just like, what in the actual shit is happening right now? Is there a ghost ship docking in Boston Harbor? Like, what are we doing? So I drove all the way out there. She gets on the airplane. I'm driving back. It's like I said, it's so dark. I mean, fog, like, people were driving with their lights obviously on, but I couldn't see them for like a good 150 yards, and there would just be two little white pinpoints in the darkness, and then it was just closing in on you. Like, that is terrifying. So anyway, I get back home, and by the time I get back home, like I said, I drove out to the airport, and it takes about an hour to get there, hour to get back, Now it's like coming up on 5:15, 5:30 in the morning. I stopped and grabbed like a McDonald's, a couple of McDonald's hash browns just to kind of keep a little something in my stomach because I'm starting to feel a little weak. And by the time I get home, I'm like, yeah, it's almost, now it's like 5:30. It's going to be 6 o'clock in like an hour or so. The sun is going to be up. I might as well just try to stay up and then maybe take a nap. Well, that was a fucking mistake. I should have just gone to bed because I did manage to stay up. And I managed to stay up till about like 11:30, 12 o'clock. And then I'm like,
I'm tired.
So then I had to go lay down. So I'm like, I can't deal with this shit. I tried to watch some football. I missed a lot of it. We're going to get to that in just a moment. But yeah, my sleep schedule's been all over the place since Sunday. Like, I'll be so dead tired in the middle of the afternoon. I'll be falling asleep at like 2, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But if I don't go lie down and then actually go to sleep, I push through it, then I'm up. And then the problem is, now I want to go to sleep at like 8, 9 o'clock. Well, if I only sleep about 4 to 5 hours a night on average anyway, maybe 6 at the most. Hold on. Motorcycle man, got to get it in. I don't know why. It's 46 degrees right now. If you're riding that fast into the wind, it's going to feel like it's probably in like the low 30s. But vaya con Dios, man. Anyway, back to what I was saying. I'll only sleep like about 5 hours on average, maybe 6 at the most. I can sleep more than that if I take medication, but then I'm real groggy and out of it the rest of the day. Like, if I take a melatonin chew tonight at like, let's say 11 o'clock, I'll sleep until 8 or 9, but I'll feel like I'm asleep until about 2 in the afternoon. Like, because I drugged myself, basically, and I don't do that well at all. And only really ever take that kind of stuff if I'm like, I absolutely positively need to sleep, and then I have nothing to do of any substance in the morning at all. Like, is this fool just doing laps? The fuck? That's weird. But yeah, so now I'm trying to shake this fog off that's hitting me in the middle of the day. Which I'm hoping I can pull together when it comes to the stream to this afternoon. But that means I got to get moving so I can do that. But yeah, like, it's been giving me weird dreams, man. Like, I had this dream the other night. I had another one last night, too. It was fucking wild, man. It was like, I was, I think I was an on-call, like, you know, like a super, like a mechanic. Like, not a mechanic, but like a handyman kind of thing. And I worked in this neighborhood. I've never seen this place before. Here's the thing. I've had this happen. I don't know if it happens to you guys. You ever have this thing where you dream about like a location? And it's not the same place every time you go there. But there's a lot of stuff that's very similar. Or it kind of looks like a place you've been to before. Or like two or three places you've been to before kind of mashed together. So even though you've never really seen this place, you still kind of know how to get around it. And this is one place that's like that. It kind of reminds me a little bit of like when I lived in Salt Lake City and around that area. And a little bit of, I want to say Massachusetts, kind of. But it's like a valley with mountains on one side and there's like a bay on the other. It's a weird set of geography that kind of like all folds in on itself. And then there's a little bit of Chicago thrown in there with like, you know, tunnels and overpasses and train tracks and shit like that. But I'm supposed to be working on this people house. And then while I'm going in there, the guy's like, yeah, he's like, apparently you're not supposed to use this many dimmer switches, you know, for whatever, whatever in this area. He's like, I was wondering if you could help me, you know, by taking them out and whatever. And then his like wife was walking around. I'm trying to remember who this dude is. Like, I've seen his face in like a movie. He's like an actor. And it was like I was working on this actor couple's house. I don't know if they're married in real life, but it was like, shit. I'm trying to remember what this dude was in. He's just kind of like a toady looking, you know, average Joe kind of guy. I'm seriously drawing a blank on what this guy's been in before. Because I got to remember his face and remember his name so I could like pull up an image. I'm pretty sure I'm not going to dredge his name up. And if I do, I'll put it in like a post or something later on Blue Sky. But imagine Bruce Campbell, but like less like statuesque looking. You know what I mean? Like Timu brand Bruce Campbell. And then the wife was like Kim Cattrall, but like back in like her early 30s to like late 20s. Right. And so I'm trying to work on this dude's house. And the whole time the wife is like coming on to me and I'm like, I can't do this. You know what I mean? I'm like, and at one point I'm like, I gotta not take this job. And the husband's kind of like, I don't know if he's an invalid or something, but he's definitely infirm. And she's all like, hey, you know, you can stay over here for the night because it looks like the storm's coming through and, the roads will wash out because of the mountains. I'm like, I think I'll take my chances. But then all of a sudden I can't find my fucking keys. And now she's like kind of like done something to the husband because he's zonked out. And now it's like that thing where like, you know, the lady's got like her fucking towel on. She's like, hey, come get it. And I'm like, ah. So I'm trying to get away from this chick. And then I wake up. And I'm like, I fucking hate this dream. But I wake up just as my alarm goes off. So now I've got to go poop. And I'm like, this is crazy. Rewind a couple days from that. I had this dream that I was, it was something I saw on YouTube where they were like advertising for some B-rate, because this is the thing they should do with YouTube. Even with premium, they still managed to shoehorn in like advertisement shit. There was like a B-rate kind of like novel service, like audible.com, but shittier. And it was talking about like a werewolf and a lady werewolf or whatever. And so I had this weird dream that I was like part werewolf. And then, like, I was supposed to be dating this lady werewolf, and the parents were all pissed off because, you know, like, I wasn't a full werewolf, but, you know, my daughter's gonna, she got to be married to you, so you're gonna have to, it was like a shotgun wedding. Like, they're like, if you don't do this, we got silver fucking rounds, and we're gonna drill you full of this shit. So they're, like, holding me hostage at shotgun point to marry this werewolf lady. I'm like, I gotta stop looking at YouTube before I go to bed, my guy. And then I kind of like fade in and out of that dream. And they're like, they're saying that they have this baby. And like, this baby's not mine. Like, I'm looking at this baby, I'm like, this ain't my kid. But she's like, now that you're with me, you have to help me take care of this baby. The funny thing about it is, I used to live with this lady back when I first moved to Florida. One of the first times I moved to Florida. And she had a daughter who had a little kid, and the kid in the dream looked exactly like this lady's, this younger lady's baby, right? We just call her Amy, Amy's kid. So it looked like Amy's kid. I'm like, why is this kid here? This kid would probably be like, I think right now, Amy's kid would probably be like 12, maybe 13, maybe a little bit older, somewhere in that range. But like, yeah, be like 12, 13. So there's no way this kid is this little. But in the dream he was, and in the dream he was sick, like he was sickly, he had some kind of illness or whatever. And I'm holding this kid and he's wild, just like Amy's kid in real life. He's just wild. He used to bite everybody, and I'll be like, yo, if he bites me, I'm gonna let you know he's gonna have to grow some new teeth real quick. Like, don't you gotta teach a kid to stop biting people. But yeah, so the kid is the baby in the dream is like flailing around and he gets sick all of a sudden. He just vomits. And you're like, oh God. I've had that happen a couple times in dreams where somebody will vomit. I'm like, I can't do this. Now in real life, it doesn't bother me at all, really. I've sat next to people while they've thrown up and just been like, that's gross. Don't do that anymore. But it doesn't bother me. And this dream, for some reason, it was really working me over. And then the kid just starts peeing and pooping everywhere. Like when a slot machine hits a jackpot. Like, he was coming out of all orifices. And I'm like, oh my God, this kid's gonna fucking explode. Like, it's just like, and I'm like, nope, this is enough. I'm like, you take this kid, I'm getting the fuck out of here. And like, this is what happens with y'all. Like, I guess it's one of them little inbred werewolf babies or whatever, but I can't be about this shit no more. I had to run. And when I woke up, I just felt gross and bad. I was like, what in the hell happened? What was that about? Yeah, that's why I need to get my sleep schedule under control. That shit was wild. That all happened this week, by the way. So I know it's because my sleep schedule's screwy that it has not been working out. So I got to change this up real fast. Yeah, let's talk about some football though instead. Fuck this. That was weird. I was wrong. I was really wrong. And I was really hoping I'd be really right. But I felt bad for Pittsburgh. They did get pounded by Cleveland. I don't want to say pounded, but they got taken out by Cleveland 13-6. I missed that game. Like I said, I think I was just zonked. It wasn't happening for me. Excuse me. Yeah, it was just one of those games where I was like, I didn't think the Browns had it in them. And I guess maybe the Steelers didn't that week either. It was just kind of rough. So that was unfortunate. Barely got to see any of Jacksonville, Indianapolis, but the Jaguars actually did win. Like I said, last week I was pulling for everyone to win. But one out of three is not great. Let's just be honest. But Jacksonville takes it 23-17 over the Indianapolis Colts, which I was like, they got to win this one because it kind of cements the fact that the Jaguars really do deserve to be here. And that's what I felt about Chicago as well. And I'm like, they just got to beat San Francisco. One, it keeps them, you know, it keeps them on a winning streak, right? Which is great for Chicago, great for Jacksonville. Love to see it, right? But, or at least on a winning record. But the real big issue is that Indianapolis and San Francisco both had to take L's last week in order for Jacksonville and Chicago to be where they are this week. And I wanted them to win just to justify it and rub it in everybody's faces. Hey, this is right. We deserve to be here. Unfortunately for us, Chicago fell short. And it was not for lack of trying, I think. But they got to stop doing this fourth quarter hurrah bullshit. This is not the time to try to spin that fourth quarter team narrative. It hasn't worked for Chicago for decades. It wasn't working for them this year really either. They were just getting lucky at the very end because they were beating teams that were like, again, touted to be superheroes, but turned out there was a little bit more style than substance. And so they got lucky being able to pull these fourth quarter turnarounds on people. That luck runs out. You got to focus on skill and planning and preparation. And they were short on the last two. The planning and preparation just weren't there. And so pulling these trick plays out at the end of the game doesn't really benefit you, especially when you got a quarterback like Caleb Williams, who, while still being a solid enough quarterback, is and can come through in a pinch, doesn't have he doesn't have quite enough steel to show that kind of tenacity all the way through the game. He can make a clutch play, which is fair. He can make the long bomb play, which is also great. He can make the short plays and call runs, and he can move with his feet. That's awesome. But you have to have all of that, and it has to be way more consistent in order for you to be able to rely on it in a fourth quarter situation like that. And Caleb, unfortunately, did not help. The receivers' core did not help. And you know that the refs are going to try to throw some penalties your way. Oddly enough, almost everything that I saw Chicago had coming. Which is one of the weirder things. Like, I can look at him like, yeah, they actually deserved that call. That was them fucking up. Didn't seem like very many punitive calls that week. Just outclassed and poor play. And then, like, it's a poor play and poor preparation going into the last half of the game was really what beat them up. Because they were doing well enough that they were holding their own, and it was basically tying up every quarter. So they weren't leaving anything really on the table. They just weren't making the most of opportunities when they had them dropped in their lap, which is really what happened in the end of the third quarter. But anyway, still a fantastic, hard-fought game. Chicago just petered out at the end and lost 38-42 against the San Francisco 49ers. A heartbreaker, to be sure, but not wholly, like, I'm not super, super bummed about it. It's not my favorite thing to happen, but you know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You can't win them all. And I wasn't there coaching. And even if I was, I don't know that I could have coached it any better. I mean, maybe a little bit better than some of those calls. But, you know, that's just hindsight being 2020. But this week is going to be a new week. So we're going to see what we've got. Let's see. We've got the Tennessee Titans versus the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm going to call that for the Jags. I don't see any reason not to call that one for the Jaguars. Of course, that's what I said last week against with the Steelers versus the Browns. And not well saw how that turned out. So who knows? I could be wrong about this one as well. And then we've got Pittsburgh versus the Ravens. I don't know. I think I'm going to throw this one to Baltimore. It's not that I don't think that the Steelers don't have it. I just know that they didn't show a whole lot this last week that was really impressive. And I'm worried that they might carry that into next week. And then we've got Chicago versus Detroit. That's going Chi-Town all the way, baby. That's my call for this week. We'll see how the footballs play out this week in the NFL. But that's my projections for these three teams for this new week. Week 18, baby. We're closing in. This is going to be a very interesting playoff season, I have a feeling. I'm very, very interested in seeing how this all shakes out. And a couple little things before we take off here, because it's getting close to the 1 hour mark. I got a thing I want to recommend to you. One thing I want to recommend is this film called Relay. For those of you who aren't familiar with it, it's on Netflix. It's a little bit older, maybe like about 2022, 2023, maybe. And it features a guy who works with he created a service where whistleblowers can get protection to keep them from facing reprisals by companies that they blow the whistles against. And he gets caught up in a bit of intrigue and has to sort it all out while protecting somebody that he's been contracted with through what they call a relay service. Now, this is the same kind of thing that people who are hearing disabled use, the TTY services, right? And this enables like you to speak to somebody and then they relay the message for you, and then the other respondent will send the message back. And the interstitial person in the middle working at the relay service is basically going to be, reading back and forth what the other person said. The one fun thing about this, though, is the relay service doesn't have any record of who their clients are, like who uses their services. They don't keep records of the calls that are being made. So it's more confidential. And, nobody gets the same call twice pretty much. So like you'll get like random numbers sent to your desk to relay. It could be anything, and you just got to relay it in confidentiality because you don't know and you can't say, and you don't have a record of the shit. So it's actually really interesting concept for a film. The idea of protecting a whistleblower isn't new, but this particular approach to it I thought was pretty novel, and it also created a good bit of intrigue. And I'm gonna tell you, I was pleasantly surprised by this film. There were some things that, just because if you're a savvy consumer of media, you'll kind of pick on certain tropes, right? You'll pick up on certain things. You're like, that's probably going to be like, this is going to happen. Then there's certain things that just come out of nowhere and you're like, oh, I didn't see that coming. And because it's such a novel concept and how they put it together, it was a lot easier to be surprised by certain conceits that you saw. You're like, I should have seen that. Why didn't I see that? Because they disguised it so well with how they put the initial story together. It's really fun. I think you'll definitely enjoy it. If you do, like I said, send me a message on Patreon, patreon.com/WanderingOneStudios. Let's talk about it. If you have any other film recommendations, let me know. I'd love to see those. And if you want more spoilers and stuff, if you want spoiler or spoiler-free reviews, like spoilerific or spoiler-free reviews, let me know what you want me to see, if you want me to discuss something, if you want to just, I'll just pop those over at Patreon, and let's get it popping. And the last thing I'm going to say before we get out of here, because I got to go handle some businesses, I'm very disappointed with Xbox, as you guys have heard me say recently. I think a lot of what's going on in Xbox is a lack of imagination and more of a lean to please shareholders than to give a shit about quality gameplay and quality gameplay experiences. Like, they're trying to lean more into becoming a multimedia entity, and that's not what Xbox was meant to be. And I think that that's really one of their biggest failings. And you could tell, because if you look at their store, there's a lot of like just bloatware, just slopware that gets thrown onto the Xbox store. And they're leaning really heavily into horror games lately. I'm not saying that horror isn't a genre that shouldn't be represented in video gaming. Whatever you want to do, this your thing. But yeah, it's leaning more towards Xbox being just the horror game console, and that is really killing my buzz when it comes to wanting to be excited about buying anything new for Xbox. Like, everything I see is horror this, you know, roguelike that, horror this, psychological horror that, visual novel horror and erotica. I don't give a fuck about any of that shit. But one thing I've really noticed that's really horrible is that a lot of times the promo art for a game will be so good. Like, you'll see like the title card for the game and you'll be like, oh, that looks like it might be really cool. And then you pull it up, like, the promo art is gas, right? Total gas. But the actual content is ass. I've looked at one and it had this wonderfully drawn, like, kind of Victorian era. It looked like it could have been like a tactical game with a love story and like monsters and mythology kind of thing. I'm like, this might be kind of cool to take a look at. As soon as I pulled it up, 8-bit pixels, 8-bit pixel sprites. I'm like, bro, you blew your art budget here. You should have spent more of your art budget on the game assets. You could have made an actually stunning, even if it was 16-bit, you could have made a really stunning piece of art here. You know what I mean? That technology exists. You could have done that. You didn't even try. And then there's another one that looked like they had done. Oh, man, I wish I had brought this up earlier. I did not, but I might have to put it up on Patreon. My friend and I were looking at game reviews last night because it's one of my favorite things to do, is to read reviews on a game that looks bad and see if it's actually as bad as people say it is. Oh, man. I'm trying to remember the name of this game, but it was like some, and again, it had like really nice looking promo art, and some of the screenshots looked really cool, but then the people who played it were like, I paid $15 for 2 hours worth of gameplay. It should be illegal to sell this, and it probably is. This one dude was ripping it apart, and I really can't remember the name of it right now. I'm tempted. Let's just see if I can find it. If I can find it, I will read it real quick. Booyah! I found it. Okay, so buckle up, guys. This one's actually pretty fun. So this is a game called The Legend of Princess Lyria. I have to make sure I put this. You got to go and check this out. I need some of you to at least see this for yourself. So you can be like, he's not kidding. This is a real game that exists in the world. Wow. This review, I think it's the most highly rated review. Is written by a user called A Bad Wiener. This is a 1-star review of the game, The Legend of Princess Lyria, that says, this is not a game. This is a failed community college class project. It's a Dark Souls clone where you can retrieve souls, in quotes, when you die, but you have no souls in your inventory, no bonfire to use them at, and no shops to spend them. It doesn't matter, though, because you have no stats, or inventory, or menu, or settings. I knew the game was awful immediately, but I decided I would play it anyway since I already wasted my money. So I finished the tutorial and got to the first level, in quotes, where I died while my character was unplayable because of dialogue options. I went back to where I died, picked up my souls, with three question marks, beat a boss, and now there is no way to progress. I hope that's a bug, but I've had enough. The fact that some scammer is making money from this offends me so much, I'm typing this with the controller. It should be, and honestly might be, illegal to sell this trash. Oh, man. Like I said, I would love to read some more bad game reviews. I think I've done like one or two over the course of the years. But if you think of another bad video game, or if I find another one, I'll bring it in and we'll read it and just have a good laugh. Why not? Anyway, it is time for me to get moving. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for another year. I hope that 2026 is much better than 2025 has been to all of us. And I wish you nothing but the best. I hope we have another amazing year going into 2026. Please tell people about the podcast, rate, review, subscribe, all that jazz. Thank you everybody for all the support and love, whether it's here,
just listening every week, whether it's over on Patreon with your support or you're just hanging out for free and chatting over there, sending emails. Thank you for all the emailed questions and stuff I've gotten over the year. And I hope to see very many more in the upcoming year. I'd love to read your questions and comments. Again, totally confidential. Unless you ask me to read your name, I won't. And yeah, that's going to do it for this episode of the Wandering One podcast, closing out the year of 2025. And this is me, Link Flores, your host, signing off from Wandering One Studios. Thank you. Be careful. Be good out there. Happy New Year to you. And I'll catch you wanderers a little further down the road. Peace.